Today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags in the market. With DB's patented hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10 or going to our link in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on, time to get going. This is the Outlap F1 podcast featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna, your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap. Welcome, everyone, to Season 3, Episode 37 of the Outlap F1 podcast. This is our Dutch Grand Prix race preview. You've got Andy. I'm along with the two J's tonight, John and James. Deanna is sheltering in place, I think, in her apartment right now, as there's been the remnants of Hurricane Ida are rolling through the northeast part of the country. So she's opted not to be on the recording tonight. So one, I hope she keeps power. And two, I hope there's no lasting storm damage. Because I guess there's been some gnarly weather like in Philadelphia and stuff earlier tonight. So for the folks that are on our podcast tonight, how are we doing?
Good. It seems like we just did this, right? The triple headers have begun. So yeah, yep. It's hopefully we actually get a race this weekend. I enjoyed filling out my survey from F1 this week about my thoughts on Spa. So I'm sure they enjoyed. Well, some poor intern is going to enjoy reading that, I'm sure. So. But I gave them a brutally honest feedback. You know, that's what they asked for. That's what I gave them. So
is it like the one text you sent that was bull's nut or bull's hit bull, or something like that?
Bull's hit.
It was bull's hit. Yes. Like bull's nut is a totally different thing, Andy.
James, what about you? Any thoughts on how you doing?
He's being quiet over there.
I'm good. Just got home. I mean, the weather's perfect up here in the Chicagoland area. Just got back from a quick round of golf after work, so feeling pretty good. Excited to talk about a track that we've never seen before. Besides John on F1 2021 earlier today.
Which I've done nothing but wreck on for the last 3 months, so...
All right. So just as a reminder, you can find our show on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can email our show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. Please check out our beautiful website, www.outlapf1.com. On that, you can find our F1 for Beginners Season 3, Episode 6. So if you're new to the sport, please do check that out. You can also find our Sabre Cook interviews, and she will be in action this weekend, yet again in Zandvoort. She just missed out on points in the W Series race in Belgium, literally got pipped in the last corner. Ay, a bit of a frustrating year for Sabre, but we hope that she turns it around and does awesome this weekend. You can find our interviews with her in Season 2, Episode 2, and Season 3, Episode 21. Just as a reminder, even though she's not here, Relapped with Deanna, you can check out her 45-second race reaction to Belgium or whatever that was, as well as some other stuff. She's got good video from our trip to Nashville on there as well, so please do check that out when you have a chance. Just as also a reminder, you can check out our link in our show notes for our Anchor support page, $1, $5, $10. We would appreciate everything. And some people are actually responding to that, and that's given us we are super happy to report. Congratulations and welcome on board Mary Brown as a monthly contributor, as well as Matt Polanski from the Red Sector MotoGP podcast. Matt, we appreciate the support. Mary, we appreciate the support. Thank you so, so much. If you're interested in doing that, please check out our link in the show notes. Final reminder, we are continuing to bring our 20% off and free shipping from the good folks at Manscaped. Please do check out and enter our code OUTLAP, that is OUTLAP, you can get the 20% off and free shipping. And as always, we are super proud to bring that to you. So we had a bit of a breaking news kind of crazy morning, afternoon on Twitter today, kicked off by the Iceman, Kimi Räikkönen, has announced his retirement. So let all the dominoes fall. James, what's your thoughts on Kimi hanging up?
Can I just say that I'm thankful to Kimi to announce this on a Wednesday, because I feel like every freaking time that something huge like this happens in the history of this podcast, it's always like 4 hours after we recorded an episode. So thank you, Kimi, for doing us a solid. The F1 gods, the podcast gods, have shined on us after Spa. So thank you.
Yeah, for once. You know, it's one of those things where we had a feeling it was coming. We had talked about maybe after last year, we thought could have been his last year. So we had a good feeling that this was going to be his last year, but it still kind of hits you in the feels a little bit when it happens, because Kimi's like a true icon of the sport. The last guy to win a world championship for Ferrari. So
that is true.
So that's kind of a special thing. But I mean, he's been a different guy, I feel like, the last year and a half or so. So it's a bummer that he's kind of going out quietly. I guess who knows what could happen here the last few races of the year. But, I mean, just a great guy to have on track. Always good for a laugh or two on team radio and things, and just comments he makes to the media. So he will truly be missed. Hopefully he's doing something cool after this. I don't see him just not racing anymore. It just seems like the kind of guy that's always going to be racing until he's no longer with us. It just would, even as like a 70-year-old, I'm sure he's going to be racing around in something. But, it's kind of a shock for it to happen today. We had heard some rumors that it was going to happen in Monza, along with some of these other announcements that haven't quite been announcements yet. But like John said, I'm glad it happened at a time where we could talk about it and it'd be pretty relevant at the time. And now it's like, let's silly season just, I mean, let's go. Strap it in.
John, any thoughts on Kimi and the long career? I mean, you and I have seen him for forever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, literally since day one of my F1 watching, won a world championship that year. So, yeah, I mean, it's someone that I've followed closely for so many years now. And, yeah, it's going to be – I feel like it's going to be a little weird to not see him on the grid, you know, next year. I don't know. It's I don't know. It just means we're all getting older too, apparently. When all your icons, I mean, Rossi just retired, you know, or just announced his retirement, and Kimi, and I'm just like, damn it. Like, it just means I'm getting old. He's going to go down as one of the great ones of the sport. You know, for lack of content, he's going to be an iconic character. Because when he does speak, it's pretty damn funny, as James said. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's sad to see, but as I think I've said for a while now, I feel like it's time for him to move on and open up a door. There's so many young guns in the sport that are just, you know, itching to get an opportunity in Formula One, and I'm excited to see that the announcement is now, so we can start the dominoes, start the silly season, and let things roll, because I think it's going to be a whirlwind over the next few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is talk about kicking off the silly season. It just went crazy. I mean, we've got dominoes going all over the place, and people are reporting that slots are already filled and you know, all over the place with this. But, I mean, just talk about a storied career. You know, you think of F1 and you think of Kimi in the last 20 years. Just the most quotable quotes, the one that I will always remember is, "Leave me alone, I know what to do."
Steering wheel, you know, steering wheel.
Yeah, that one too. You know, just, you know, when the guy did talk, he always tried to say something poignant. And sometimes by not saying things, he said more than people who get super wordy. So, you know, you never it's certainly a unique character. I wish him the best in his retirement. I know that he will now get to spend some time with his kid and his family. And it wouldn't shock me maybe 10, 15 years down the line, if he like opens up a racing academy or something like that and tries to teach younger drivers, just because I think he wants to be, he'll want to be around it in some form. But I don't see him being like a team principal or anything like that. I think he's done with the politics of all that stuff. But fond farewell to Kimi.
Could you imagine Kimi in a team principal meeting? I mean, wow,
that would be hilarious.
He's a guy who's not going to play the PC card, the political card there. That would be brutal. The sport would probably find a way to exit him very quickly.
Yep. So with that, now we have an open Alfa Romeo seat. The hot rumor has been reported by Dieter Rankin and Racing Lines and racefans.net is that that's going to be the place where Valtteri Bottas, once the George Russell decision is announced, would go. He would be paired then with Formula E champion Nyck de Vries, who would then come back into the Formula One paddock. Thoughts on Alfa's potential new lineup?
So it's hard to parse from rumors to actual things. So I know the Bottas one is still like a rumor, technically, even though that seems pretty legit. The de Vries thing is still just a rumor, right? That hasn't been...
Well, Race Fans has reported that they think that that's going to happen, but it has not been announced by the team by any stretch.
So there's been no announcement. I mean, that would be an interesting lineup. I'd have to imagine at that point, then Giovinazzi just kind of becomes Ferrari's like reserve driver or driver or something like that.
Yep, that's exactly what would happen. And then Ferrari is going to have a hypercar Le Mans program that he seems to fit in nicely for.
Yeah, that would work out good, I'm sure, for him. But yeah, I mean, it'll be really interesting to see de Vries go from Formula E to Formula One, because that's two really different styles and obviously way different cars. So it'd be interesting to see how he adapts. Kind of an interesting place for Bottas to go. But I mean, either way, it was either going to be that or Williams. So either way, he's going to be at the back of the pack, unless one of those teams just nails it with these new regs. So not the pairing I expected, I guess.
Well, I know we were going to talk about this a little earlier, but I feel like it might be a good time to kind of plug it in. So I feel like this potential driver lineup fits very nicely with the other rumors going out there about power units that supposedly Alfa Romeo has been talking with Toto and company about switching over to Mercedes power units. So it would make it would be quite interesting if it is indeed Bottas and de Vries that would then make a fully backed Mercedes drivers on a team that is powered by Ferrari. That seems a little odd. So it seems like the dots are starting to connect that the switch to Mercedes could potentially be happening. And, you know, I think, Andy, as you said earlier this week, if they're going to do it, now is the time to start.
You'd have to
much
do it
later
now
than this, and you're kind of screwed. But I think that would be a really interesting switch. And from everything that we've been able to figure out, it looks like, you know, Mercedes is capable of supplying up to 5 engines. Although, James, I know you found articles from back in October 2020 where Toto said that 4 was pushing capacity at the absolute most. So I wonder what's changed since then. Maybe the engine freeze potentially that's, you know, starting to come in. Maybe it's more of just a production and not so much of a development strain that there would be in 2022. So any thoughts on that, guys?
Well, I mean, if they could pull it off, it would be a heck of a score for, I think, Alfa and Fred Vasseur and that team. I think when they first hooked up with Ferrari, they thought they were going to kind of go the route of that Ferrari B lineup, and it just hasn't really come to fruition. We've seen Ferrari make huge strides this season in kind of getting back to form. We haven't seen it in any of their supply teams. We haven't seen it in Alfa Romeo, and we sure as heck haven't seen it at Haas. Now, Haas, we all know why. They haven't put two dimes into that car this year. Alfa Romeo, I think, tried to put a little bit of development in, and it doesn't look like it's come up. And I know a guy like Fred Vasseur doesn't want to be just languishing at the back. The fact that Williams has also scored now the 20 points basically takes P8 out of the realm of possibilities, and maybe now brings that discussion. Hey, we got to try something different because whatever we're doing right now isn't working.
Yeah, and then switching over to obviously the Williams lineup, and you look at, well, we could talk about that in a second, but you know, does that make the possibility if 4 is too much or if 5 is too much, does that mean that potentially Williams could be switching to an Alpine or even a Ferrari? Because based on the rumors that we're seeing now, it looks like Albon is going to make a reappearance into Formula One. So you'd have a former Red Bull driver and Latifi in there. So nothing Mercedes backed. I mean, obviously, I know Williams had a long-standing relationship with Mercedes. But again, with no Mercedes drivers at all anywhere in that mix, it makes you wonder if the team is going to get sacrificed. Would it be Williams?
Well, and it's new ownership that doesn't have any connection to Mercedes at all.
Very true.
You know, the Williams family had that long-standing relationship with Toto. Toto used to invest in them.
Yeah, very true. That's a good point.
But a quick search earlier, I'm pretty sure the Williams-Mercedes engine deal is until 2025. So I don't know if those contracts are as easy to break as, like, driver contracts, but that could be a potential hurdle. Obviously, I'm sure there's ways for them to get around that, but...
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, would it make sense?
It certainly makes me think, though, that like going into the freeze, then you're only talking about physically making the motors and not so much of all the side developments and crazy, you know, experiments on the side. So it, you know, it seems like if there's ever a time that they could handle five motors now until 2022 to 2025 would be, you know, the logical time to do it. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, every time you would change that engine to upgrade it, you'd have to test it on your works team. Well, that's obvious. But then you'd have to have four of the same spec ready to go at the same time, because who do you pick over the other? And that's not, they're not going to play that game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that if that does happen and Mercedes now takes on Alfa Romeo and keeps Williams and Aston and all that, that we do get some more manufacturers in, because I don't want half the field to have the same power unit. That's just, I don't know. It's still a long way from the spec series or anything, but.
It becomes a slippery slope. I mean, if you could do five, what makes you say that you couldn't do six or anything else? And if these other manufacturers get the next spec or the revised spec wrong in any sort of stretch, they're going to be all clamoring at Toto's door, looking to get something that could at least be competitive. So yeah, it's a scary thought. I mean, when we first went to three teams with a Mercedes engine, I thought that was almost too much. And now we're going to have potentially five, which is, like you said, half the grid. I mean, so yeah, if we could get Porsche or, you know, some of these, or maybe, you know, Ford or an American name to want to come in or something like that, or even Cosworth wants to come back in, that would be awesome, because we could use, you know, different thoughts, different ways of doing stuff, which makes F1 as good as it is.
Yeah, with the potential of a completely revamped 2025, I mean, it could potentially open the doors for all kinds of maybe multiple configurations, potentially speaking. You know, there's more than one way to get the job done when it comes to engines and how they operate, as World Endurance Championship has proven for many years now, especially during the heat of the LMP1, you know, category. So potentially F1 could maybe do something similar, especially if we're burning e-fuels, where it really doesn't matter how much fuel we burn because of really no emissions, then, you know, that really opens the door for all kinds of crazy compression ratios and, you know, throughout RPM limits and everything else under the sun. So, you know, it could be pretty exciting to see that. But yeah, I agree. I mean, five, and like you said, Andy, if you get it wrong, though, then since you've got 10 cars that, you know, suddenly have a turbo issue or something like that, I mean, that would be, you know, a spa-esque black eye to the sport.
Oh, my God. I mean, could you imagine if there was, like, a defect in one of those specs?
Oh, geez.
And then all of a sudden you just watch them all go pop, 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 pop. You know, and that's 10 cars out of your race.
Well, that'd be great for Ferrari.
Yeah, I enjoy it as long as it was the Mercedes engines doing it.
All anybody left is Ferrari and Alpine at that point. So,
all right. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of silly season, it looks like this is the first domino to fall. There will be others, and we will, as announcements are made and things are made official, we will do our best to bring them to you as they happen. So, Red Bull and Mercedes have a bit of some technical drama going on. Red Bull has apparently asked for not necessarily a technical directive, but a clarification to the FIA about something up with the Mercedes engine. John has done a whole heap of research in this area, it looks like. So I'm going to let him explain the Red Bull Mercedes technical drama.
Yeah. So as best I can in layman's terms, because that's really the only way I'm understanding it either. Obviously, these are very complex engines. But essentially speaking, and again, this is 100% rumor at this point. To our knowledge, nothing has been confirmed by Red Bull. Supposedly, there is a Ferrari piece to this as well, but apparently Ferrari has been completely lip sealed on anything to do with this. So basically Red Bull supposedly have filed a complaint, as Andy said, to the FIA about the legality of Mercedes engines. They believe that they've had some kind of trick to do with an ability to somehow cool the air coming into the plenum in the acceleration phase of the motor. So if you look at a Mercedes-powered F1 car, whether it be Mercedes, Aston Martin, et cetera, et cetera, if you look at the Mercedes car, for instance, right underneath the Ineos logos, there is this kind of sausage-looking lump on the side of the car that kind of sticks out on both sides. That is the plenum for the Mercedes engines. You'll see it across all the Mercedes-powered manufacturers. So what that basically does is a air box that essentially stabilizes the air and allows it to be distributed better and more combustible once it's mixed with fuel and produce more horsepower. Obviously, temperature is, you know, the biggest evil of horsepower. You know, motors want cool air coming in. That's why, you know, in your aftermarket car, the first thing, or your car at home, the first thing you see, you know, tuners do is throw on that cold air intake and things like that. Get as much cold air into the motor as you possibly can. So supposedly, Mercedes have found some way, according to Red Bull, have found some way to cool this air as it's coming in. And there is no information that I can find is exactly how that's happening. But with every single degree of temperature that is cooled below ambient, apparently it is magnified to a significant degree about how much potential power the motor can produce. Now, according to what I've been able to find, it looks like the temperature inside the plenum is only allowed to be approximately 10 degrees cooler than ambient temperature. So supposedly Red Bull was claiming that Mercedes is doing some weird trickery with not only being able to cool it, but then also about the placements of the sensors. There are sensors that have been for quite some time on Formula One cars to monitor the temperatures going into the engine from an air standpoint. And supposedly they've gotten, according to Red Bull again, creative on where those are in order to give the appearance that the air is hotter than it actually is. So it's a lot to do. And again, we have seen nothing official whatsoever. This really just kind of stumbled into the news this week out of the blue. And honestly, when I first read it, I was like, is this an old article? What am I seeing here? But after a whole lot of research and figuring out exactly how this impacts compression ratios and things that, and air fuel ratios, things like that. If it is something, it could be a game changer. It could be a Ferrari type situation where things could, you know, a hammer could be dropped down if there actually is anything there. Again, we've seen nothing. If we don't see anything official, I think in the next few weeks, it's probably a dead horse, but it does make interesting, you know, discussion. Supposedly Red Bull is saying that they're able to do this out of the corners to give them an increase in horsepower. I don't know if they're looking at GPS telemetry data to see that the Mercedes engine is potentially faster than them outside of slow corners. I'm not sure how they're getting this information, but there it is. We'll see if anything actually comes of it and if we ever see any kind of real confirmation that this protest even exists.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be how you would find out if we're going to get, you know, if you're Red Bull and you have this and you think you're right, the first thing that would happen is the FIA issues one of those technical directives that says this is the interpretation. And then if they think they have a case, that's when you would see protests happen after a race once those cars are entered into the event. Now that we all know what an event dictates, supposedly, and all of that. So, yeah, we'll see if we see protests in the near future.
I will be praying to all of the old gods and the new that this is accurate and that the hammer is brought down with all of the force.
I got to tell you that, James.
I will talk about this nonstop. Every podcast I'll bring it up. I'll bring this up more than that time that that Gasly dragged Hamilton in Brazil.
I figured you would say something like that, James. But as a fan of Formula One, though, I mean, honestly, I think we all better hope this isn't true, because this is shaping up to be one of the best seasons of all time. And if these motors aren't legal, and we know Red Bull is already faster on most tracks than Mercedes, I mean, you might as well kiss this season goodbye, just write it off in the history books as a Red Bull or Verstappen win without any contest. So
I just look forward to the opportunity to slap a huge asterisk on every record that Lewis Hamilton has.
Well, these engines supposedly were designed this year, so so good luck on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see the Schumacher fan in James coming out.
All I know is I won't want to be anywhere near Twitter or Reddit or any social media channel if this comes to fruition. I'm going to go hide under a rock and maybe do what James did and go out to a golf course and forget life for a while, because damn. Well, I mean,
pretty much every rule that's been written in the last half decade in F1 has been designed to slow Mercedes down in any way, shape, or form. So it wouldn't shock me if their interpretation of the rule book is different than other people's, just in a hopes to keep them slowed.
Yeah. The thing that's keeping me grounded through this, though, is that it's like Red Bull bringing it up, and they bring up
everything. I mean, it's
all
almost
the time.
Yeah.
So
it is. You know, the problem is when Christian Horner cries wolf, there's usually. And it's also when Helmut Marko cries wolf, too, that I don't necessarily know that I believe it right away. So,
and
we'll see.
Apparently, there were some sources around the paddock that, said it's interesting the timing of when they would come out with this. You know, they had this massive lead in the championship. Then we have Silverstone happen. They lose their bullshit, protest against Mercedes. It's immediately thrown out the door. Now that they're suddenly losing the championship, now they suddenly have issued concern about it. So,
yeah,
if you're concerned about it, I'm sure they didn't just figure this out. We're halfway through the season now. So, is it just simply a distraction, a bit of noise from Christian Horner? So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. We will monitor it. We will stay on top of it, and we will see how this new drama plays out. If it so does.
All the Red Bull talk reminded me, when I first got to the golf course today, walking up to the clubhouse, there was a guy walking out wearing a full Red Bull team polo, and kind of disappointed, though, because I was like, hey, man, really nice shirt. Like, expecting to start like a quick F1 conversation. His response, it's windy out there. I was like, all right, thanks, pal. Kind of disappointing, but
probably is.
Just thought of that.
Yeah, probably has no idea what Red Bull actually does outside of selling drinks and having a cool logo.
One at a time. That's how we do it. One at a time.
That's when you slap a bumper sticker on the back of his golf cart and tell him to have at it.
There you go. Or we can drive and we'll freewheel it and scare the crap out of him, and then he'll know who we are.
Yeah, Andy will be doing burnouts up and down hills. So
yep, that's what I'm good for. All right, so we are going to take a quick break. We will come back and we will get into the Circuit de Zandvoort. So come on back and we'll dig into it.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off, free shipping. Let's get back to it.
All right, welcome back. So we are now going to get into the Zandvoort track facts. They are brought to us by the good folks at Pirelli Motorsport. James, this is our debut track or rebooted track for the first time in like 20 some years or 30 years since we've been here. So tell us about the Circuit Zandvoort.
Yeah, so we're headed to the Circuit Zandvoort, located in North Holland, Netherlands. So not too far outside of Amsterdam. I think it's within like an hour drive. Number of laps we're looking at, 72. Track length, 2.65 miles, otherwise known as 4.259 kilometers. The tire selection for this weekend is C1, C2, and C3. Because of the track characteristics being traction, 3 out of 5, braking, 2 out of 5, lateral load, 4 out of 5, tire stress, 5 out of 5, thank you, banking, asphalt grip, 3 out of 5, asphalt abrasion, 3 out of 5, downforce, 4 out of 5. There is no qualifying lap record. There is no race lap record as of right now. The most wins, Jim Clark with 4, Jackie Stewart and Niki Lauda tied with 3, but that was a different setup of the track. Most constructor wins, tell me if you've heard this before, Ferrari with 9, Lotus with 6, and McLaren with 3. So pretty much a brand new track setup that we're going to see. There is a bank in it, and I would like to hear more about that. So Andy, why don't you tell us about the circuit?
So the big thing, as you mentioned, with tire stress being 5 out of 5, this could be a tire killer. And it's no completely makes sense why we have the hardest Pirelli compounds on offer this weekend. With turn 14 being taken flat out with the excess of 4 Gs, 2 corners with heavy braking zones around 5 Gs, turn 7, 8, and 9 will also produce high Gs, which will punish tires continuously over a portion of the track. Throw in the fact that the track is built near a windy area near sand dunes, grip levels might change rapidly. The circuit is really quick, pretty insane, and old school. And these were just some of the words used by the current crop of F1 drivers when used to describe the Zandvoort track that many of them tackled in their junior category days. We'd also add undulating to that list. The Zandvoort track swoops and flows through the sand dunes, creating a roller coaster-like feel to the lap. And while the circuit will be modernized in time for F1's 2021 return, including increasing the braking angle at the famous Tarzan corner, which is adept or close to like an Indianapolis Motor Speedway, banking, trumping 18 degrees, Zandvoort will remain a proper challenging driver's track. Very twisty, not huge straights, only the one straight. 2 DRS detection zones, but one is basically not nearly as long as it was because they are not doing DRS through the banking. So, yeah, going to be tough to overtake, but should be a challenge for sure for all the drivers. Current weather forecast. Yes, we cannot get through one of these without talking weather now. Qualifying looks to have sunshine and clouds mixed, high of 68 degrees. Winds east-northeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain, only 14%. For the race, sunshine again and clouds mixed, high of 73 degrees. It winds east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain, only 14%. There was some talk earlier in the week about Sunday potentially having rain. That looks to have shifted over to Monday. So looks like we're actually going to see some green flag action this weekend. I think I can say that with relative certainty.
Well, don't cheat me. After last week, I don't want to assume anything anymore.
So, Andy, you didn't remind me to bet Sergio Perez to win this week, but I remembered myself. So I'm looking at it now, and then it really made me think of it when you said a tire killer, because who's really good with tires? Sergio Perez. His odds right now to win is plus 1,800. So that's pretty thin.
Yeah, you bet. That's
definitely him and Bottas are both plus 1,800. Hamilton and Verstappen tied for odds on favorites at plus 105. So there's a big gap between the top two dogs and Max options. Your boy Lando's plus 3,200. So there's some there's some value to be found out there.
There's a chance. All right. So we are going to hop straight into our predictions. We don't have any prior races really to talk about because the last time they raced here was 1985 and Tiana would know more about that than I would. So we will just hop straight into our predictions as we are apt to do. We start with the qualifying fastest time and driver. Deanna as not being here. So she will go first for all of these. Her pick for the pole is Max Verstappen and her lap time And again, this is throwing darts at a dartboard. We're all over the place probably on this one. 1 minute 10 flat. So, John, let's start with you. Or does James want to go? I think James wants to go.
Yeah,
he's itching to go.
So, James, we'll go with you and go ahead and do what you're going to do here for fastest qualifying driver in time.
First, let me say I hope everything's okay with the storm. Indiana makes it through okay. But I am going to take Max Verstappen. I'm going to say a minute 10.001.
Oi. All right, John, what you got?
I think this is happening so frequently, we're going to start having to add a sound effect. straight from the
yeah,
price.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. come on down.
Instead of Andy telling us all our laps are fast, he's going to start telling us to spay and neuter our dogs and cats.
And help control the pet population.
Oh, Bob Barker. Gotta love it, man.
R.I.P.
All right, so I believe this is... I mean, Max is the only one that's had any kind of time on this track at all since it's been redone. So, hometown, only one on the track, even though it was in a different type of car. It was still an F1 car, so I'm going to go with Max. Throwing a shot in the dark here. I'm going to say a 108.203.
All right. I'm going to make this a clean sweep in terms of qualifying pole. I think Max, this is his track. He's going to have a massive home advantage. The crowd will be with him the whole time. So I think he takes, and just looking at the track characteristics, this looks to suit Red Bull. It's all twisty. So lap time. And here's where I'm going to close to you, John, but not too close. I'm going 108.914. All right, so switching over to the race itself. Yeah, well, that's worked the last 3-4 weeks. So the last 3-4 times out, the slow lap is one. So, James, you might be in good position there. Turning now to the race. Race podium. Deanna has Max Verstappen taking the win, followed by Lewis Hamilton and then Valtteri Bottas. So pretty much Mercedes, Red Bull, chalk, kind of, sort of. No real faith in Perez there. James, what you got for race podium?
So I'm going Max. He's going to get the win in front of the home crowd. Hamilton in second. And then with those tire issues, I think Checo's going to sneak onto the podium there in third.
John, what's your thought for race podium?
Yeah, I'm going the same way. I think this is a track that potentially Bottas struggles on. Dirty air is not his friend. I think there's going to be a shit ton of dirty air at this track. So, I think he may fall back. So, yeah, I'm going to go Hamilton. Max, Hamilton, Checo as well.
Just to let it be known.
I want to make it a clean sweep
John
again.
John literally just copy and pasted my predictions into his line. Just want to throw that out there.
That's why the font looks the same. I was wondering about
that. Well, you know, listen, work smarter, not harder. Control-C, Control-V, baby. And you going to make me do Control-V
again? No, I'm not
going
to make you do that one. I'm going to get close, but not quite.
Oh, damn it.
Close, but not quite.
All right, delete.
I do have Max. I do have then Lewis. But I'm going to go my homeboy here. Plus 3,200. Why not go Lando Norris? I think he's owed something from last week. And I think he likes the take twisty ones. It kind of reminds me of Imola a little bit, and he did very well there. All right, so
very
turning
true.
Now.
Let's hope Bottas and George don't get together then, if it's like Imola.
We'll see. Anything is possible this year, apparently.
I don't know why no one has George to be on the podium.
The defending second place?
Exactly.
All right. So going now to fastest lap and driver, Deanna has selected Sergio Checo Perez with a 113 dead. So, James, what do you got for fastest lap and the driver? See if it happens again.
He's going to price it right the opposite direction this time.
I'm tempted to go Checo because of the things I've already been saying, but I think it's going to be a Bottas thing. Because he's going to be off the podium. And I am going to continue to go slower. So 1:13.001.
And cue the sound effect one more time. Da-da-da-da.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
John, what's your thought?
I'm trying to figure out my times here. I think Botas could be a solid choice as a steal. But I don't know. I feel like this is going to be a track where a Mercedes driver is going to have to pull something out. I kind of want to go crazy and do like a Norris. And for time, I'm going to go with a 1:01. How much you guys are adding? You guys are, well, oh, damn, we're all over the place. All right, I'm going to do a 1:13.002. No, I won't be a complete dick. I won't be a complete dick. I'll do a 1:12.822.
Well, you've managed to go right over my original pick, so now I have to edit that. So I'm going to go. I actually do think this is like where Botas goes out on a set of softs near the end of the race and sets a fast lap. But I'm going to say for my lap time, I'm going to try to distance myself a little bit, at least give me a fighting chance. I'm going to say a 1:12.137 for Valtteri Bottas.
What was that?
1:12.137.
All right. We got it down.
Sounds good. So our bonus picks, James has the distinction and the pleasure and the honor of picking them as he was tied for last week. So he has selected P4, P8, and P12 as the bonus picks. And Deanna, she didn't know what the bonus picks were, but she gave us three drivers. So we're going to have Daniel Ricciardo for P4, Lance Stroll for P8, and George Russell for P12. And so that's what she's going to lock in. James, what you got for your bonus picks?
Bottas for P4. P8. Ricardo. No, I didn't spell that right. And 12th, I'll go. Ricardo. 12th. I'm going to go Sonoda.
Okay. John, what's your thought for bonus picks?
P4, we'll go Norris. P8, I will go. I feel like that's probably Ricardo as well. I'll go with that one. And then P12. I'm going to go with a Vettel P12.
Okay. All right. I will go P4, Bottas. P8, here's where I think we see Fernando Alonso. And for P12, in honor of his announcement this week, I'm going with Kimi Räikkönen. Right, so our prop bet this week, because we figure this is going to be a rather tough place to overtake, and now that we have that new award, F1 is tracking it, we can bet about it. So we're going to say, how many overtakes do we see in the race on Sunday? Assuming there is a race, assuming we actually get an event and all that other good stuff, but we're hopeful. So Deanna is going with 12. James, what you got?
I'll go with 12.001. No, I'm going to go with 16.
16. John, what's your thought?
I will go with 10.
I'm going to go lucky 13.
Price is Right. She's going to really be pissed that she missed tonight.
I mean, it's a dogfight right now for last place.
You don't want to be the one that declare first in any of those ever. So, as we get to kind of our end of our rundown, just a quick reminder of the session times, all in the AM. If you're in the United States, free practice one kicks off at 5:30 AM Eastern, practice two, 9 AM Eastern, practice three, 6 AM Eastern. Qualifying is at 9 Eastern and the race is at 9 Eastern, 1 hour less if you're in the central time zones for all that. Same times as last week. It's kind of our standard European times. Any final thoughts as we wrap up and get ready to go again, this time at Zandvoort?
You know, I hope the fans are cordial. There was a lot of unnecessary chatter out there about some things that might be going on at this track. So hope all that is just complete BS and that we have a fun and exciting weekend. Hope everyone gets along and that we see some phenomenal racing. Because, yeah, this is going to be proper old school. Yeah, the race, well, I was going to say it might be wrong, one on Saturday, but that was actually what happened at Spa. But it might be close to being one on Saturday. So it could be one of those type days.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking out a new track. Hopefully the banking is cool as I'm building it up to be inside my head. And yeah, I mean, leg two of a triple header. So let's get to it.
Yeah, I think this is probably going to be even if they are cordial, probably the most hostile crowd that Lewis has been at since I think that 08 championship in Brazil. So I do hope that nothing bad happens. Let's hope that everybody stays polite and don't do anything stupid. If you're all out there, just, you know, use our heads.
I just hope we can actually see the track, because I have a feeling there's going to be so much orange being popped off that we might block every camera angle. So we at home may not see anything.
Well, you know, then we'll get one of those 5-minute delays and then two laps will come off and then we'll start all that all over again. So anyway, we're not traumatized by Sunday. No, not at all. So anyway, we're going to look forward to it. We will be back on Sunday. We will recap whatever transpires over the course of the weekend. So for Deanna, who's not here again, hopefully that she's getting through the storms all safe and good. For James, for John, it's been Andy. And as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at OutlapF1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.